Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David is old, and he is about to turn over his kingdom to Solomon. One of the most important parts of this transition to David was the building of the temple. Now, those of you that have been coming on Wednesday nights, and if you remember parts of the message from last Sunday, from the book of Haggai, the temple had been destroyed, rebuilt. We have not only Solomon's temple, but we have the temple of the Jews that returned from Babylon that rebuilt the temple. We have Herod's temple in the days of Christ. But this was significant. This was important to David. There are things that were very important to him, and one of the most important parts of his legacy. And each of us are leaving a legacy behind. And most important part of his legacy was that Solomon, his son, would be well equipped to build the temple. Now, you know, the Bible's pretty clear about some things in the New Testament. In a spiritual sense, every person that has the indwelling of the Holy Ghost is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body, your physical body. And there's passages that allude to and make reference to our physical body being a temple. And also there are passages where that we collectively come together as a church and the Holy Ghost is with us. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. We as a church body become also a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. So there's the analogy and metaphors that are used in the New Testament that allude to us personally being temples because the Holy Ghost indwells in us, and us collectively as a church are a temple or a sanctuary because the Holy Ghost abides with us. And so as we look into these Old Testament types and shadows, they reflect a spiritual house. You know, there are types and there are shadows, and then there's those that are the substance of those, the reality of those that come into play, and we notice in the New Testament how these things really apply to us as a people and as a race. And so David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." Verse 2, "And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones and build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for Sidononans, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, 'Solomon my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all the countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it.' So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, 'My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies around about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said unto thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Let me pause here. You know, many of the challenges that I mentioned last Sunday about discouragement and how we need to be encouraged, not be dismayed by what we see or what we hear, but when we are set to do the certain things for the Lord, we ought to do them with all of our might. And though there are challenges and there are discouragements, we are fighting the good fight of faith, and we need to keep fighting the good fight of faith till the Lord returns. And so there's this discouragement that he was prone to experience. This was a great task. This was a great challenge. Though he had all these things before him and everything's been prepared, it still required work. Now, let me pause and say this, that everything we need to build up the cause or the church of the true living God has been provided by the Lord Jesus. Everything we need has been provided. But it still requires us to work. It's a challenge. There are times of discouragement. But we need to be of good courage and dread not, though it's tiresome and though it's a challenge and though it's work, don't dread that, but be of good courage. Don't be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of gold and silver and the brass and the iron, there is no limit, no number. Just as Solomon had everything he needed to build the temple, we have everything that we need to build up the cause of Christ. He says, arise, therefore, and be doing, do something for the Lord. You have everything you need. It's all been provided. So rise up and do this work. You know, there's no greater work in the world than the work of the Lord. No greater blessings than trying to do those things for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are eternal blessings and eternal and spiritual benefits to serving the Lord and working for the Lord that you cannot find in the world. So rise up, okay? Don't sit there and do nothing. Don't be a do-nothing person, but do something for the Lord. Rise up and be a doer. Be a doer. David also, he's been given this challenge to Solomon. Now he's turning to the princes of Israel. Okay? You help Solomon, his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, right now, verse 29 will be our text. Now set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. I'll stop there with a reading of an entire chapter, something I haven't done in quite some time. I believe this verse 9 has application not only to the converted, but also the unconverted. I want us to begin by speaking to the converted. David was addressing in verse 19 the princes of Israel. He was talking to his own people, so the reference here is mainly to the people of God. And you know, as we think about the different challenges that we have, there are a lot of things that we need to do and some things we need not to do, but one thing we always need to do is seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord is not just something the unconverted do. It's something that also the converted do. I was reading earlier in the book of Chronicles, and I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And there was a time there during great revival and great reform where the prophet came and spoke to Asa, I believe it was. And there was a call for people to come together and seek the Lord. And the prophet just told the people of Israel on that occasion. I believe it's in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles. He encouraged them to seek the Lord. And he said, look, if people don't seek the Lord, you need to take them, whether they're young or old. You need to take them, whether they're rich or poor. And you need to kill them. Did you realize that there are one particular juncture in Israel's history that if every person of the nation did not seek the Lord, they were to be executed? I mean, this is a serious thing, to seek the Lord. Now, we hear preaching all the time about sinners needing to seek the Lord, but saints also need to seek the face of God. We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. Now, the Bible talks about on various occasions, we think about those primary passages of Scripture, like the Apostle Paul when he was at Athens and he was before all those idolatrous worshipers, and when he stood before those Grecians and he said they were way too superstitious, and he told them that they needed to seek the Lord. And in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, that haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. Everybody is encouraged to seek the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, we know about that passage, a very famous passage of Scripture in Hebrews 11 and 6, where it talks about that without faith it's impossible to please God, that those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We think of the prophet Isaiah, where he, in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to the Lord and he will abundantly pardon. We think of those primary and principal passages of Scripture that talk about people seeking the Lord and being saved. And I still believe that sinners need to seek the Lord till they get saved. One of my favorite proof texts of that is Hosea, the prophet. In chapter 10 of Hosea, verse 12, he said this. He said, it's time to seek the Lord till He rains His righteousness upon you. And I believe that's what folks need to do. They need to seek the Lord till the Lord rains His righteousness upon them. You need the imputed righteousness of Christ to go to heaven. And so you seek the Lord until you know that you've received the imputed righteousness of Christ. But I'm afraid too many times we only consider seeking the Lord for those that are unconverted. These passages clearly talk about us also seeking the Lord. Now, what was he talking about when he said that we need to seek the Lord? Well, shouldn't we seek the Lord when it comes to obeying Him and finding out His will? Should not we seek out the will of God? You know, years ago, God's people, Baptist folks, used to be a group of people that were seekers and pursuers of the truth. We always were searching for the truth of God's Word, the will that He has for our life. I mean, we used to always seek that and desire that. And I contend that we need to get back to old ways and seek the Lord's will for our life today. What is God's will for our life? You know, there's a lot of things we seek after we get saved. Not only God's will for our life, but the will for our family, the will for our church. We're constantly seeking the Lord to be our advocate and to be our friend. We seek the Lord to always be with us and to help us that we might follow His example. We like Him to be our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We seek His advice and we seek His counsel. We seek all the recommendations that He gives us and we want reconciliation with Him. And so that's a search that all of us need to have that we might constantly receive forgiveness of sin. He's an advocate that can reconcile our sins even after we're saved. And listen, if there's not a longing for, if there's not a seeking of righteousness and holiness and pleasing God, if we're not trying to please God, there's something wrong with us. And so we're not to be slackers. We are to be seekers of the will of God for our life. I do know this, that if you're not careful, you'll get out of the way. It's easy to backslide. We can find ourselves not pleasing God. You know, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it tells us that we are to always walk worthy of the Lord and unto all pleasing. Well, we're seeking to please the Lord. Always seeking to please the Lord. If you're always pleasing the Lord, you're going to have to be very careful. You can't. You need to be very slow about your steps. You need to be very cautious. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, where it talks about us living our lives circumspectly. I know that's an old King James archaic kind of word, but it means that we are very careful in how we live our lives. Seeking to please God, we must be very careful in how we live our lives. And so He told us, you need to walk circumspectly, not like a bunch of fools, but wise. 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 In the decisions that we make, we need to seek God's counsel. Whether it's things concerning your home, your life, your finances, I believe every area of our life, we need to seek God's will. So we seek to obey Him. We seek to please Him. We ought to seek to be loyal to Him. We ought to work toward being loyal to the Lord. I thought of this verse in 1 John chapter 3. I believe it's verse 22. We were talking about prayer in Sunday school. And John, the apostle, said, we have those things that we ask. God hears. He answers our prayers. He gives us what we stand in need of. And He says, whatever we ask, we always receive. Why? The word because in that verse is very important. 1 John 3 and 22. Because. Why does He hear? Why does He answer our prayers? Why does He give us what we desire in His work and in His cause? Because we are keeping His commandments. Look at that verse. And we are doing things that please Him. I'll just read it for you. 1 John 3 and 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I'd rather have one righteous person praying for me than 1,000 unrighteous. Somebody who's trying to keep the commandments of God and trying to please the Lord with all of their heart, seeking to obey Him and please Him. Those are the folks that get their prayers answered. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes a difference. Why? Because when they pray, God responds. They're trying to work for the Lord and keep His commandments. They're trying to please the Lord. And something happens when they fall to their knees. Heaven hears them. Yeah. And I'll just be honest with you. If you don't have a couple of names in your mind, that if you should get in trouble, you need to call those folks because you know that God hears them, then you need to create a list. I've got one. And so anyway, let's get back to our text. Seek in the Lord. We are perpetually and we are constantly seeking His will, seeking to obey Him, seeking to please Him in the way we live our lives, in the way we work for Him. And so David, he wants the princes of Israel to come together and to rise up and to set their heart. Let me say this. We ought to be about the main business of life. If I call on one of these folks to pray for me, it's not one of the folks that's in a church that's filled with hypocrisy, or a church filled with false doctrine, or a church filled with apostasy. I'm going to call upon people who are in the right church, holding to the right doctrines, who have the true Spirit of God. Those that have set their heart and their soul to rise up and build up the true church of Zion. Amen? The true church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. Not the heretical church. Not the church that's described in the book of Revelation, the apostate church. I'm talking about the church of the true and living God. Is there a difference? Well, there is. Big difference. So we ought to be about the main business of life. Every Christian ought to be striving to build up the church of their Savior. The church that Jesus built. He told His followers, He said He would build the church. And He has built the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16. And He's built this church. And He expects His followers to be participants and be plugged in and be involved. Do you guys realize that the church of the true living God, it is the salt and the light of this world? When the salt loses its ability to savor, when the church members are no longer working to advance the cause of Christ, then this world will cease to have a desirable interest of God, and God will come and He'll destroy it with power and great glory. We are salt and we are light. The church, the work of the church, I believe it's the main object of the Christian experience. I mean, it's the main concern of the Christian to be laboring and advancing and building up this spiritual sanctuary that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's important to us, isn't it? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Yeah. So, not only is there a personal pledge of loyalty contained in the expression, seeking the Lord, princes of Israel seeking the Lord, but there's also a personal obedience that's required. Listen, I can't make you be a good church member. I can't make you serve the Lord. And I'll just be plain, I'll be honest with you. If there's not something in you, driving you, that came from God Almighty to serve the Lord, I have no business. I can't do nothing with you. It's just like cleaning up a swine. It'll just go right back in the mud pile, won't it? Yeah. You need to be a lamb of God. One of His sheep. Yes. Goats have this goatish attitude about them, and they will drive you crazy trying to make God-fearing, God-loving people out of them when they have nothing in them to drive them to be God-loving and God-fearing people. Yeah. So there's this personal obedience, this pledge of loyalty, and this pledge of labor, laboring for the Lord. What a blessing it is to work for Jesus, to follow Him, to be His disciple, to lift up His name and strive to advance the cause and spread the gospel. last Sunday, I came across that one little phrase in there that just really got a hold of me. How that the work of the church has the desire of the nations. I believe the nations of this world, they desire to know the Creator God. I believe they desire to have forgiveness. Listen, there's a void inside the soul of every man that only Christ can fill. We have the answer. We have the name of Jesus. And there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. The church lifts up the name of Jesus. And when Jesus is lifted up, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And when they get to the Lord, they can be saved by His grace. We have the desire of the nations. We need to be spreading the glorious gospel of Christ. This thing is important. It's the most important thing you'll ever do in life. The work of the Lord. Your high calling, your destiny is not to make a name for yourself here, but to lift up the name of Jesus. So if we're going to do that, it means you must render obedience. You must render labor and loyalty to the Lord. All right, let's unpack this just for a moment. I'm just talking about setting our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord God. I wish some of you this morning would be like Doubting Thomas. I don't know where you've been that first Sunday morning. But Thomas showed up the next Sunday morning when the Lord appeared after His ascension. And he saw the Lord for himself and he fell down before Him and said, "My Lord and my God." Oh, that you today would acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and your God and fall down on this Christian Sabbath like Thomas did that day and set yourself to seek the Lord. Listen, what does that mean set? The word set. Think about that word. Well, the word set means to have a sense of resolve about you. Man, there needs to be a determination among us. Instead of a discouragement, there should be a determination. There should be a commitment. There should be a devotion. There should be a delight in us as we set ourselves to seek the Lord. Listen, it's time for us to break up our hearts and break up our lives and establish ourselves in the Lord. I mean, be established in the Lord. Position yourself. I mean, set yourself with determination. One of the problems we have today with our young people is that we're not instilling in them a fixed purpose for life. Our forefathers used to set that in their children. That this is right, this is wrong. This is acceptable, this is unacceptable. And if you don't have those fixed purposes for the future, then when you come to those temptations of life, you'll give way to them. But if you already have a fixed discernment about how you're going to decide that situation, when you're in it, you'll stay out of trouble. It's a resolve. I'm not going to do that. Young people, listen to me. You need to resolve and make a resolution and a commitment right now that you're not going to drink alcohol or participate in drug activity. It will be offered to our children. Resolve right now. You can be 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. You can make a resolution in your life. I will never let alcohol touch these lips. Praise God, we got some kids that grew up at this church that kept that. And they're now in their 30s and 40s. And they can, with pride, I guess, to some degree, that they resolved in their heart that they would not do those things. I believe we need to teach our young people that they need to resolve right now that they're going to keep themselves pure into marriage. It's an important principle of God's holy word. And you know, 90% of the battle is won when you already resolve not to. The Proverbs are full of this. Proverbs 4:27. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. If you step down in evil, get your foot out of it. That's what the proverb says. Stay on course. Stay committed. Stay resolved. Be purposed. Be determined. There needs to be a constant pursuing of these purposes that are before us. You know, James talked about a double-minded man, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to be fixed. We need to be set. We need to be determined. We need to be established. So this word set means you need to establish yourself. Make a commitment that you're going to seek the Lord. There needs to be a fixed focus concerning doing the will of God, knowing the will of God, and working to accomplish God's will. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to be seeking and putting the kingdom first. And all these other things will be added to us. God's service, God's glory, it needs to be mastering our lives, controlling us. Listen, nobody ever becomes holy by chance. It takes determination. Listen, nobody just, you know, becomes, lives a respectable life of integrity by chance. It takes determination. It takes commitment. You got to work at it. And I'll tell you, one slip up will ruin the whole life of loyalty to the Lord. So you got to be circumspectly. I mean, you got to be careful every single day. You can't turn to the right nor to the left at any time. If you get just a little bit on your shoe, evil. If you step in it, get your foot out of it. Success has never come by a heartless effort. It's not by accident that we have churches with power. There has to be commitment by those people to have a church with power. Yeah. And so he talks about this singleness of heart. You know, in Paul, when he was writing the young minister Timothy, and I know this primarily applies to ministers. You know, he told the young minister in 1 Timothy 4 and 15, he said, meditate on these things every single solitary day of your life. Wholly, completely give yourself to these that thy profiting may appear to all. That people might see that you've given yourself wholly to the things of God. Well, we need to get back to that. We need to give ourselves wholly to the things of God so the next generation will see the benefits of it. That's what he was saying in that passage. You know, the psalmist, and I'm about done. Psalmist in Psalms 42 and 1, you know, he said, as the roe, as the deer, you know, he's panting toward for the water, for the brook. He said, so my soul panteth for you, O God. We need a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. When you set yourself, your heart and your soul, you're setting your whole self. That includes your mind and your intelligence. I believe when we go to church to worship God, we not only should bring our souls, but we also should bring our minds. We need to present the whole man to God in worship, in honoring Him. That includes the whole man. We need to throw our whole life into the cause of Christ. Follow Him fully. Look, this is the bottom line. If you're not going to set yourself to seek the Lord God with all of your heart and your soul, if you're not going to be a Christian, okay, because I think Christians ought to be Christians. You know, I think the saved and the followers of the Lord ought to be followers of the Lord. I'm convinced that if we're to be the church of the true living God, we ought to be church people. And if you're going to be worldly, just go out there and be worldly. Quit trying to put one foot in the church and one foot in the world. That is one of the most confusing, puzzling things to figure out. I mean, I mean, even Paul had trouble with it. James had trouble with it. Some of us were discussing James 4 and we're like, you know, is he talking about saved people? He's talking about lost people. Look, he was about as confused about it as we were. People that said they were saved living like lost people. Some of them had to be lost. You can't tell whether they're backsliders or lost people. Which are they? Christian people ought to live like Christians. Is that hard? Is that too much to ask for? I don't think it is. No, I think that's what the Lord expects of us. All right, I'm going to close. Let me move to the last word and unpack it. We unpacked a little bit of what the word set means.
But notice the word before it. Now. Right now. 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 Set your heart. Right now. You know, we have some of the best of times today. I believe the church has had times in history has been positioned right for glorious and great things to happen. I believe we're coming to that juncture here that God is calling on us to set ourselves to seek the Lord for this generation, at this point, at this time in history, that we might work together and rise up and build up the temple of Jesus Christ, the holy sanctuary that He left in the world. And we need to recognize that. There are opportunity times, times where we have opportunity, times where God is blessing us, God is with us, the power of God is on us. We don't need to jeopardize that. We need to cherish that. We need to seize that moment. We need to hold to that. We need to be like our forefathers. And if we ever see it start to drift away from us, hit our faces and call on God. Well, if you're here today and you need to, the word now is affecting you, I believe the church is well positioned today to do some great things. And we have done a lot. We've seen a lot of things done that I never thought would ever happen. I never did realize or think that we would have a equality with some of the TV evangelists, but we do now with the internet. Sermons are heard around the world and watched around the world. Pretty phenomenal that we have the equality to the ability to put things on the internet, which is the quality of putting it on the satellites years ago. And we're blessed. We need to seize those opportunities. You know, there's opportunities that await us here at Victory. And I just want to encourage those the generations like David encouraged Solomon. He was getting old. He's going to die. He said, look, you just be strong in the Lord. If you be of good courage, don't let anything get you off track. Don't ever let anything get you discouraged. You press forward. You advance the cause of Jesus Christ, no matter what other people say or do. Serve me. Seek me. You know, and that's one of the problems. And I'm going to turn to the unconverted. Let's stand and sing. I'm just going to say a few words to you. Yeah. You know, one of the problems a lot of people have, and they don't understand this, but we've learned this when we get saved. You don't seek the Lord by reading the Bible, but you can read the Bible and learn some things about the Lord, and it can help you find the way of the Lord. But, you know, Jesus talked to the Pharisees who knew the Scriptures forward and backwards. He says, you do search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They thought they had eternal life by knowing the Scriptures. He said, these Scriptures, they speak of me. And He said, you come to me that you might have life. We know that, don't we? And so if you're seeking the Lord, you need to seek the Lord. Don't seek salvation through church membership. Don't seek it through works. Don't seek it through knowing the Scriptures. Don't seek it through some kind of system that's been provided by religions of the world. You need to seek the Savior. Jesus said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You got to go to Jesus. And that's what we point people to. Who we point people to? Jesus. You need to seek the Lord. Seek Jesus and He will save you. Let's stand and sing. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me today. Now, I believe it's a good time. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Let's seize upon the moment. We have a lot of challenges, but we have also many opportunities. And let's capitalize upon those opportunities. And let's rise up and build up the cause of Christ, that He might receive all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise.